Here we go. It's hour five of the nation. And it is time now for that proper round tripper. Rangers enjoying a night off. Let's talk ball here with Woolchuck.
Let's do it. Let's go around the bases right after this.
You don't know how to play first base.
Scott? That's right.
It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
There's no crying in baseball!
You play ball like a girl!
Hey, if for those that don't know, life-changing, the Tommy John underwear.
Could tie it with one swing.
College World Series, looks like we got Georgia and Oklahoma about to go to battle. Winner will advance to play North Carolina in the finals as the Tar Heels have moved on after defeating West Virginia earlier today. Unfortunately, Texas eliminated with another loss to Georgia yesterday. So we'll see if the Sooners can knock off the Bulldogs or Georgia will take on North Carolina.
The Oklahoma team, I believe I have this right, very reminiscent of, remember, maybe you do, maybe you don't, Mississippi won the national championship and was the last team to get in the tournament.
Oh, okay.
And Oklahoma, I believe, was near the one of the last teams to get into the tournament. And here they are, one win away from being in the finals. But, yeah, Mississippi did it several years ago. Was not even ranked, and all of a sudden find themselves winning a national championship.
Unbelievable story. So, getting hot at the right time.
That North Carolina bunch, I was watching them against West Virginia a little bit. Man, they barrel up a lot of balls.
They're putting up like double digit points. It seems like most games.
They run. Yeah, I'm very jealous of how well they hit the ball.
The other breaking news, real quick. This is not baseball related, but the WNBA is expanding their season to 50 games beginning next year. So they're going to go from 44 to 50.
I bet they are.
More money,
baby.
More money.
That's a robust schedule now.
Sure is, isn't it? Yeah. 50 games. I wonder. I guess that now extends the season, or will they just start the season a little bit earlier? Probably can't with the college with the WNBA draft, because they go straight from like the college season right into it. So that'll be, I guess it'll be extended into August. Let's look at who is ranked as the Rangers player that is the most scrutinized. Bleacher Report did this for every single team across Major League Baseball. But if you had to say, who do you believe would be the Texas Ranger that's under the most scrutiny? 877-881-1053. Who you picking?
Seager.
Yeah.
Seager, Lankford, just because the expectations are so high. Okay. And then, are they basing this off of like tweets or something of fans just bitching to be bitching?
Just
kind
a
of
writer
thing?
Selection okay, of every just, team. Okay, so there's okay. not actually like any substance.
Hard avid evidence.
Yeah.
It's got to be Seager.
It is. You nailed it. Baseball guys of the day. It's Corey Seager.
Well, I heard Bobby say it this morning.
Yeah, fair. He said, hey.
He said it in the second hour of the show.
Was it the second hour?
The second hour of the show. I was driving into Crown Global Media and I was.
You caught it?
And I caught
getting
it.
Getting ready to not pay attention to a word Woolchuck says on the stack.
I'm used to it.
I will say, though, this about this, Eric, about the stack, though. He does get paid to say his words.
That's really what matters.
He does. That's all that matters.
As long as the check's clear.
That's all, sure. Yeah.
Is that he a threat? Put the earmuffs on.
It doesn't matter. Just as long as he's getting paid, right? That's all we care about, money, right?
That's what we care about.
All we care about is getting paid, right?
Facts.
Yeah. Facts.
Has it just been a rough couple of months?
You think he should care more about respect, Brian?
I don't know at all.
Are you upset?
Not at all. No, I'm cool, man.
It seems like you might be.
I'm not upset. I'm not upset at all.
Everybody's cool as a cucumber in here.
Yeah. It's been brought up like five times since.
It was a fun moment. I was just cracking jokes. I think
I was cracking jokes,
thing.
Too.
You good?
Yeah, we're good.
Ask me. Yeah, you good?
I'm totally good. I just, giving the guys a little shine in the morning show. That's it.
I appreciate it.
You know, we took it personal. That's okay.
Corey Seager. Sometimes you just got to defend yourself.
That's a great jab right there.
That's all it is.
No, I would like to raise my hand and apologize for
there's no need
saying
to apologize.
It five times. Yeah. But, I mean, in Broadus's defense, it's not like Woolchuck is the only person in the world that thinks Flannoy had a decent season. You know? It's entirely possible, Zach, that other people came to a similar conclusion.
Absolutely it is. It's just
I'd like you to lay off my guy Brian a little bit.
It's all right, man.
Like
no problem.
Try and gas you up plenty there, Brian.
No, I'm cool, bro. Just keep cashing the checks.
All right, we're going to cash them.
Keep cashing the checks. Yeah. Keep cashing them.
I mean, would you like to me to not do the show with you?
That's fine if you don't want to.
Is that what you're going
no,
out here?
No,
if you
don't no, want
to. I feel
no.
like this is like turned into a
no,
thing
no, if
here.
You don't want to. I don't have a problem. I'm not making you do the show.
I'm ready to step in, Brian, whenever you need me.
I'd be happy to.
I know
to.
I'm not as good of a scout as Walt Chuck.
I'll take half of whatever he's making.
He's cashing the check.
Just trying to do good work, you know? That's all it is.
Yeah.
He said, check my TikTok from last week.
Yeah. It's on there.
Which was filmed in my studio. Yeah.
There you go.
Which he's using quite a bit for his TikTok stuff.
Well, I'm doing stuff for yours as well.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just but for the record.
It's on. I see it on your account.
Yeah.
I do, man.
And you're
I see a lot of. A lot of crown stuff
you're,
in your account.
And you're tagged in it.
You even went out to dinner with a couple and started doing this.
And you're like, man, no, I'm good.
Pass the salt, please.
I think usually I am that couple, yeah, Lucian.
I'm good.
You know, you guys weren't ready to come out really today.
Doesn't seem like that.
I'm totally good.
Okay. Should we continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, man.
It's your show.
I can't think of anything else to agitate it, so.
You sure?
Unless somebody else wants to.
All out of ammunition there?
Throw something in there.
Eric, anything?
Oh,
no?
This has just been fantastic for me, just from an entertainment standpoint.
Yeah. Seeger, the write-up reads, has it just been a rough couple of months? Or is this 32-year-old shortstop simply over the hill? With 5.5 years left on his $325 million deal, the Rangers sure hoping for the former. For what it's worth, Seager has historically been a considerably better hitter after Memorial Day than before it, and his barrel rate remains as excellent as ever. However, he is whiffing like never before and has an OPS that looks like a typo compared to what had been an .871 mark over the previous 11 seasons. Something to keep an eye on for sure. And now we're starting to wonder, is it time to cut bait?
No, it's not. Hitters go cold. You know, ask Jock Peterson. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You get the reference. He had an entire year. He had 6 months of cold.
And now Jock is red hot and might be the one thing that is positive about this offense.
Seager's
right
got lots of good
Duran,
baseball left in him.
Even Duran, I think, has slipped a little bit. I mean, it's
slipping.
A smaller sample, but he hasn't been quite himself at the plate. Same with Josh Young to some extent.
Mm.
You know, they're both kind of – I mean, that's just the nature of the beast of the season. But, yeah, Jock right now is Mr. Consistent.
Yeah, the Jock Peterson first 136 games of his Rangers career. It was bad. 82 hits, 17 homers, 44 RBIs with a .201 average. Last 28 games, he's got 24 hits, 6 homers, 16 RBIs, and a .289 average with a .987 OPS. The patience has certainly paid off. The unfortunate thing is just not correlating into wins right now.
I could say that again.
Yeah.
It's total team effort.
It is. It's not just Jock. You know, it takes more than one guy in a lineup to get this thing turned around.
He'll always have that 5-game win streak, man.
He will.
Can't take that away from
maybe
him.
Maybe they can spark another one. Just maybe, if we're lucky. Now,
I am always up for trading a guy as he approaches his mid-30s with, like, what, 4 years left on his deal? Like, don't get me wrong. There is a way I could trade Corey Seager, but I'm not bailing on him at an absolute low.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That would be crazy.
Problem. That's the problem. You're selling low right now.
Yeah. You are. That's true. Like, I don't know what you're going to be able. I mean, maybe a contending team. You know, you want to get a bat that can help put you. Look, Corey Seager, there's probably nobody you'd rather have in the postseason. The dude's won 2 World Series MVPs with 2 different organizations.
See,
so maybe.
There we go.
You know, maybe you got a chance to get
just
something.
Just get me
here.
To the playoffs.
Yeah.
With flipping Seager.
Well, in this American League, you might still. I mean, you're still stiffing around it right now. Now, Jeff Passan did list the Rangers as a team labeled as best fit if they were going to be buyers for one guy that they're playing right now. And that would be the Twins outfielder Byron Buxton. Between Buxton's multiple years of control and a reasonable contract, he'll fetch a monster return. Buxton would have to waive his no-trade clause, but it's a long shot if the Rangers were to go and get him. I love Byron Buxton. I think he's a great player. The only issue with Buxton is he's also a hurt guy.
Oh.
Yeah, no. But when he's on, he's on.
He is on.
He is a Ranger killer.
100%. He's been fantastic, and he's certainly going to add a lot of pop in your lineup if you're able to get him. And that is an outfielder, and right now they're dealing with injuries in the outfield. But, gosh, I just feel like as soon as Byron Buxton starts getting in a rhythm, something happens to just derail that, which is really, really unfortunate because he has, like, MVP talent with the way that he's able to play offense and defensively. He's an outstanding player. But he is older.
We'd be going old for old? Old and injured for old and injured?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this would be like you're giving up Seager to get him, but But yes, I mean, just in general, like if they're being buyers, oh, okay. like Buxton might be a guy. Yeah, it didn't specify like who is it that you're going to trade for.
What's his contract look like? Okay, we got 7 years on a hundo signed in 2021. So that's under 20 mil?
That's not bad.
15 mil?
That's not bad at all. Now, the number one player that is ranked in the Major League Baseball trade deadline candidates list here is Tarik Skubal. All right? Skubal's there at number one. Byron Buxton at number two. So that would be the second best player. Now, best fits, I mentioned the Rangers scouting report for him. The report on Buxton's pretty similar to when he went number two in the 2012 draft. Elite runner and defender with loud bat speed. The difference is the bat speed in high school turned into regular in game power by the mid-20s, and now in his early 30s, he's hitting some of the high-end projection for the 30-plus homer potential more than a decade later. So he's a guy that right now, arrows pointing up. Jeremy Pena is on this list. Joe Ryan, who the Twins are going to start tomorrow against the Rangers, is at number four. And then C.J. Abrams, the shortstop for the Washington Nationals, who I think they got in that trade several years ago that they could end up flipping now again and get more for. So that would be like Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams, who they've both traded. I don't know that the Nationals are ever going to sit in and like a player. Uh-oh.
What happened? You get a spam risk?
Yeah, no.
Everything okay?
No, I'm going to have to probably leave after this break. We've got an emergency at the household.
Sorry to hear that.
We got an injury. We got an injury with my kiddo. It's okay. Okay. I don't think it's anything that's like life-threatening.
I know what that's like. I looked down on my phone earlier, and the caller ID said Parkland Hospital.
It's not good. Yeah. No, we've had a fall, and we've got blood. And so now my wife is panicking and freaking out. But it's all right. I don't think this is like a life-threatening situation.
I fell out of my high chair onto the tile floor and split my chin open. So hopefully that didn't happen. But if it did,
you
can recover. Yeah.
Like
explains
recently?
A lot.
Yeah, I was like 23 years old.
You wanted more SpaghettiOs, man.
Dude, I
just needed
the
high chair. I just needed to sit up there. Reed Detmers, the lefty of the Angels. Jose Soriano, also of the Angels. Aroldis Chapman, who is getting flipped every single deadline, it seems, with the Red Sox. And the Red Sox stink. Wilson Contreras and then Sandy Alcantara of the Miami Marlins are the top 10 players right now at the deadline. So a lot of pitchers. That's the thing. It's like the Rangers are not in need of pitchers, but not a lot of bats. And Byron Buxton would probably be the best one if they really want to go ahead and get an impact type of player right there. So there's kind of your trade deadline look. The Giants are a team that could be an absolute seller here. Rafael Devers, who they traded for, Willie Adames, who's a third baseman, and Matt Chapman, or shortstop Willie Adames, and then Matt Chapman. Maybe if you want to get in on some of those infielders, you could do that. I mean, Devers, maybe a change of scenery. That's also a fat contract that I don't know the Rangers would want to pick up. But there's a couple of bats that possibly could be of interest.
Hey, man, get a power bat in the outfield. I think you'd be heading in the right direction in a hurry. You know, I'm very confident Jake Berger is going to have a great second half of his summer. I don't think this team is far off. But yeah, one guy who can crush. I mean, how many guys do you have that wouldn't have five home runs in a season if they played their entire year out? You know, you might have three of them who play for you regularly. So I think there's a limit on that, Wolchuk. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the proper round tripper.
Thank you.
As we've gone around the bases, there goes Zach to take care of his family. We got a hodgepodge coming up next, Chief. Where are you taking it?
Soresby Giannis World Cup collision course next in the nation.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for making us part of yours. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. We got lots to get to right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well,
it to
is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, do you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, you rude motherfucker.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jock stuff.
College football on ESPN, Pete Thamel says the vibe around the league that I've gotten is somebody is going to use a second rounder on Brendan Soresby. Second round pick.
Who's reporting this?
This is Pete Thamel. of ESPN. How much credibility do you assign Pete Thamel?
Well,
pretty strong.
Yeah, pretty strong, at least in terms of college football. But now he's alleging that I guess he's got some NFL sources here. Broadus, second round pick, Sorsby. Would that be your bet if you had to bet right now?
I would say yes.
Yeah?
I would say yes.
Yeah, I mean,
I was talking with Bobby about this. No. We were kind of going through it. I know Zach yesterday was talking about he was thinking a third or fourth round pick.
Freaking in your bag right now.
How about that? I remember that.
Thank you.
I was thinking it was probably going to be, and I didn't disagree with him, but I feel like it was going to be a second round pick. I think that somebody was not going to be willing. There was going to be too much of a chance to take him in the third, because I think everybody else would probably earmark it for that. So you maybe have to think a round earlier on this guy.
Right. Right.
I could say Zach and them. I think Zach's right. Third, fourth round seems very reasonable for the guy.
Take the off-field stuff off. Where is he? Clear first round pick.
He's clear first round pick. Yeah. But see, that's what I'm saying, and I don't. When you look at like Simpson, that went, you know, who the Rams took.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a better player than Simpson.
Yeah, I wonder if that's where Sorsby would have ended up.
Yeah, it would have been so perfect
if he was in the draft.
Yeah,
because they clearly they wanted a quarterback there. Would it have just been Sorsby, who's got plenty more upside? I think.
Yeah, he was. I just felt like that people would have him earmarked in the third. But if you really wanted the player, you were probably going to have to go. And what's your quarterback tax?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of where I felt it was going to be. Second round pick. I haven't talked to anybody about it. I've talked to teams about having to go do the workout. And I was going to go to the workout too, just try and go and see. I want to see how many teams. And Zach again reported that they were all 32 teams were interested in this guy. Or there were going to be 32 at the workout. I wanted to see if that holds true. But if he's going to work out down the street, I'm interested to see. I'm interested to see who works him out, what coaches. Maybe you can get an idea about the guy. I'd like to see Dallas get involved in this one. I really would.
Would you?
I really would.
If you said Dallas was given their second round pick,
I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't. Not for a quarterback, not for one like this. I think this guy's got some Josh Allen traits to him, the physicality he plays with. And I know there will be people that remind me that he has not won a game in November. That was a problem for them.
At Cincinnati, yeah.
At Cincinnati. But Cincinnati played, if I believe, I just remember watching tape at Cincinnati. It always seemed like the really tough opponents were at the end of the season, you know, that they were having to deal with teams that were probably a little bit more talented than them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as a quarterback, you got to find a way to win. But I wouldn't have a problem with Dallas.
What about what Todd Monken said, the Browns coach? It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Bringing in a guy that, you know, you're putting all your faith and trust in.
Yeah.
Is that why you'd only give a two, you think?
Yeah, I think to me that, like, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that everything that's happened in this guy's life, that now it's kind of like, man, I can't. He's going
to. Time to grow up.
Yeah, his college, if he continued playing college, it would be terrible. I think the NFL gives him a shot to just for 1 year, just kind of hang back in the weeds. And then, you know, and then when we get to training camp, you know, in 27, now go compete for a job. Or unless he goes to a place where they absolutely have to have a quarterback play right now. But this guy is – I see why that Joey McGuire and my school, everybody was going after this guy. I mean, this was the top-rated portal player in the country. And for him to get, you know, what he got, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, to be that size and to be that fast where he might be running in the 4.4s, but even just watching the games, you can see him pulling away from DBs.
He's so tough. The way he is, the physicality he plays with is just, and no regard for his body, you know, and the way he throws the football. I mean, I know the agent described, you know, a guy, a Hall of Fame quarterback, but I wouldn't say he's that guy.
Well, not only did he describe him as a Hall of Fame quarterback, Ron Slavin, the agent for Brendan Sorsby, on with Sean and RJ earlier today, had this to say about Brendan the person.
If you go human being, He's the first overall pick. He's a great kid. There's nothing that you're ever going to have to worry about him off the field.
Yeah.
As long as he whoops his gambling addiction.
I thought that was such an incredible sentence there from the agent who is doing a hell of a job hyping up his guy.
Yeah.
I still think it's going to be the Eagles.
If you don't think putting your entire program and sport in jeopardy is a problem, he's the best guy.
Well, he went on to say, like, you know, they've really locked down all his apps and they know exactly what he's doing. So that was the only concern.
He is such a threat to himself and others that you have to lock down his apps and monitor his phone every single day.
Yeah.
Do you think the NFL could suspend him?
I think the Kayshon Booty, and he actually brought that up. Yeah. Slavin did this morning because they brought up Terrell Pryor and how he walked in and got dealt a suspension. Like the NFL basically honored what the NCAA did to Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward to Kayshon Booty and what gambling issues he was having with LSU. Yeah. And the NFL did not acknowledge any suspensions or anything like that. So I think that's sort of the new precedent here.
With the fact that he went to go get treatment for it, and identify it early, and that the league didn't have to find out about it. They weren't the ones that found out. Somebody else found out, and he went and got the help. I think they're going to let it ride.
Yeah. Yeah, my guess is Howie's going to just make that play. I think he is. Now,
I could see somebody from the bottom of the board doing this. I could see a playoff team that maybe... Yeah.
Second-round pick is going to be pick, like, I don't
know. A third.
Yeah, it'll be. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we will continue to monitor that. I do hope that you get out there for that pro day. That'd be a lot of fun.
It's the same day because I got invited to go to Duke Manyweather's O-line Masterminds camp with all those offensive linemen.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to miss.
But it's a two-day thing. So it's a Friday-Saturday thing, so I might do the workout on Friday, talk about it here on air, and then go to the Masterminds thing on Saturday.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
That thing's going to be a zoo, don't you think? It's going to be amazing. Yeah. It's going to be amazing people watching.
Yeah.
All 32 NFL teams there.
I hope that they allow media to be a part of this. I hope they allow it. They might not. They might close this thing completely
down. Well, if they
do,
you're going to need the bleachers.
Yeah.
You know, because the sidelines are going to be packed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I wonder what type of receivers you're getting out there to, like, work with them.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Maybe some Carroll Dragon receivers get to go show the NFL. Hey, in about 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Call my number. All right. Now we move on with the NBA, and we are on Giannis watch as you have the NBA draft that is coming up just next week. And the Bucks have kind of laid out the idea that they want to move Giannis before the draft. That's kind of been what the expectation has been. They're not beholden to that, but that is something because I think they want at least a pick for this year's draft. We had Chris Haynes, NBA reporter, saying today, I do still believe that Giannis will be moved this offseason, but I'm not as certain as I was before that it'd be done before the draft. Mm-hmm. So, and that would nuke a little bit of a team like Miami, who is certainly one of the top dogs of likely places he ends up, because one of the things that Miami has right now is that 13th overall pick in this year's draft. If they wait on that and the draft goes by, now that's one less asset that Miami would have to use here. I don't know that I fully buy that. I think the Bucks are going to do everything in their power to get as much as they can, and part of that is getting a draft pick in this year's draft. So will it be Miami? Will it be Boston? Will it be Orlando? I mean, I don't know where this is all going to end up, but just something to put in our back pocket as it pertains to Giannis.
There's no indication the Mavs are going to get involved here?
I have seen nothing. A peep about the Mavericks being involved. It seems mostly, I think the only Western Conference team that was kicked around maybe a few weeks ago was Portland. Mm-hmm. But I think Giannis kind of put the kibosh on that pretty quick. Like, not a place I'm trying to go. Certainly wouldn't sign an extension. So he obviously has at least some level of say in this. But Boston and Miami seem like the two teams that he's open to going to and being extended and everything like that. So my guess is it would be one of those two teams unless Orlando decides with Sean Sweeney now that they really want to make a push there. But I would still expect...
He and Sean are really tight, by the way.
Yeah, they spent time together.
A lot.
Well, after watching these playoffs, I can't imagine being a playoff team and not doing everything we can to get Giannis right now. Because I feel like the championship is so winnable. You know, and that goes for the Mavs as well, even as a non-playoff team. I think getting Kyrie back, having Cooper Flagg, you know, let's make a hard push for this. You want Nine and Lively and Klay Thompson? Would that get it done? What do you think? Are you paying attention to the compensation packages?
Yes, I am. And they might have to work in a third team here. Because even with like Miami, Tyler Hero would be like the main piece that they're sending over. But I don't know that the Bucks really want him. And it sounds like the Pistons would like Tyler Hero. So maybe they would loop in a third team. Yeah. But I think you're going to need to give up more picks than that. Like Miami's going to give them, if they get the deal done, the 13th pick in this year's draft. And then like three or four more picks over the course of the next like five, six seasons.
So 9 and 30 in this year's draft?
Yes.
And maybe one or two more in the future. Do they have control of one more that they can trade?
Yeah, the Mavericks, I think it's not till like 2029 or 2030 that the Mavericks have another one that they could move on from. Mm. So that Milwaukee, I think, definitely wants to get as many draft picks as they possibly can. Okay, now to the World Cup here on the Hodgepodge. How about this for a headline? Jeep offers free Wranglers to George Washington's if U.S. wins World Cup. Okay, so there's a lot riding on this. The USA is going to have to win the World Cup. But the company Jeep is giving Americans legally named George Washington a unique shot at the new 2026 Wrangler if Team USA wins the 2026 FIFA World Cup. So they launched a website, Wrangler for Washingtons. That's the promotion. And if you are the first 100 eligible U.S. residents who register at WranglerForWashingtons.com and are legally named George Washington, would each receive a new two-door 2026 Jeep Wrangler Sport S if Team USA claims the championship. So I don't know how many people are really walking around with the actual name George Washington.
348.
There's three. Okay, wow, look at this. Wow. That was quick, bro.
348.
Okay, so you just asked the internet how many people are legally named George Washington alive today in America.
It's a rarity. It's one out of 984,926 people.
Okay. Jeez. So a third of those people will have a chance at a free Jeep Wrangler 2026 if Team USA wins, which would also include a Dawson beer
drinking
bender.
Yeah. I'll probably have to keep it under 10 beers because I'm not conditioned.
right, that's
going to be a massive hangover.
It is,
but I think that's to start the game, isn't it? 10?
Yeah. I don't. I mean, I'm thinking about running down to the courthouse. I'm a big Jeep fan. If it was for the Rubicon, you know,
I think that's nice.
The sport's kind of like a stock one you buy, basically.
Rubicon, no doubt,
we're going to have to go to the customization route here. If we pick up a sport, I feel like you got to drop another $5,000-$10,000.
Yeah, can I trade this in immediately and get a more souped-up one?
Can I finance
one?
the upgrade there to the Rubicon or the Mojave?
Now, the other thing here with the World Cup is a couple of the big food items at the different stadiums. I don't see one for Dallas Stadium, so I don't know if they pulled out any extra guns, but there's special menu items
fish
going
and
around.
Chips with the English in town?
There you, okay. I would,
they did bangers and mash. I saw somebody reviewing
bangers
that.
Bangers and mash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Giant sausage.
Well, in Seattle, if you're attending the World Cup there, you get the footlong dog. Jumbo all beef hot dog. You're not going to like this, Dawson. This is in Seattle, too. Topped with whipped cream cheese and grilled onions.
Whoa.
It actually looks freaking good to me, dude. I'd probably put a line of mustard on that.
Friday.
Did you put a line of mustard on that thing and tear it up? I would tear it up. All beef jumbo dog, footlong style, whipped cream cheese, grilled onions. I'm putting a dash of mustard on that, and I'm partying with that. I might double fist those, okay, if the first one goes down nice.
Wow. We're going to get a plane, and we're going to add that strip of mustard, but
you're going to hold the cream cheese. What about the grilled onions? You going to be all right with that?
I can see Dawson standing in the concourse just scraping the cream cheese off onto the ground. And somebody just stepping in it.
Wiping the footlong hot dog on the floor because he'd rather have that.
And then, I turn around with like two beers and just step right in it, you know.
I only accept onions in a couple of situations. Number one, the Hurtado Birria Tacos.
There you go.
And then number two, like shoestring fried onions.
Yeah.
Those are amazing. Sprinkle those on like a baked potato or something.
Heck yes.
Mashed potatoes.
Not bad.
How about this in Atlanta? Wolchuk. oxtail egg rolls.
Dude, that's right up our alley, Lucius.
Yeah.
I saw these. They look delicious.
Wagwan.
Father's Day this weekend, right?
Yeah,
we got Father's Day. That's what we're having for Michelle's making me some oxtail.
That's good stuff.
You going like an oxtail soup or just straight up?
No, straight up.
She's cooking them up.
That's going to be awesome.
Dude. Yep. Yeah, this
the price of oxtail though has gone crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah, you need an eighth, ninth.
Yeah, that was a throwaway part, bro.
Yeah.
That was his tail. That was a throwaway. Here, you can have that.
Yeah.
The oxtail and the brisket, right?
Bone marrow, they found out years later.
This is actually gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the art of barbecue right there, is taking those throwaway items and figuring out a scientific way of cooking them for long enough or whatever. To make them delicious. Salute to all those pioneers. They're 2 for 2 for me on these items. In Kansas City, you get the crossbar cut, 17-hour smoked short rib, pastrami drizzled with grain mustard, barbecue sauce, and topped with Swiss cheese, crispy onions on a custom soccer ball bun. That thing looks really incredible. You're going to have to unhinge in a big way from a jaw standpoint, though. Looks like it, there's some verticality to that. This is the one I question.
Gonna need a fork.
San Francisco Bay Area Burrito Dog. Grilled footlong all beef hot dog pressed in a flour tortilla with beef bedia, spicy refried beans, shredded cheddar, and Spanish rice.
San Francisco known for the burritos, though. They're known for the burritos, yeah.
Yeah, actually, the more I think about it, with the beef bedia, I don't know how they're, I guess they're putting the juice in there or something. I don't know. It looks just a little bit weird because it's a burrito and you can clearly see a hot dog inside of it, but that's a win for me too. I'm going to go ahead and try that as well.
So. We got a Dallas Tolo here, just moved to Seattle and says the Seattle dog is actually legit.
Boom!
Okay. So, I mean, it sounds scrumptious.
Tried it out. Well, thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
We got a sports hodgepodge in the books. We're coming back to mix with the Fan After Dark. See what Fred and Blake have cooking here for you. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. A lot has happened since we last talked with these gentlemen, Fred and Blake, Fan After Dark, coming up here. Full show tonight, 7 to 11. How the heck are you guys?
Back-to-back nights. We're on tonight, and then we'll be on tomorrow as well. So
ecstatic.
Two Fan After
Darks. Elated. The World Cup takeover has been great. I've loved it, seeing all the different fans from around the world come, try new restaurants, try new things, be in the city. Has the traffic been terrible? Yes, but, you know, I can take it.
Has it been, though? Like, any worse than usual?
No, it's been worse. It's been worse. But I don't mind it. I've enjoyed it.
I mean, coming from Louisville, it's been fine.
Well, yeah, nobody lives in Louisville, so...
35 was a major thoroughfare, so just saying.
Nobody lives in Louisville, just so saying. There's not a lot of traffic.
How are the fatties reacting to all the World Cup content? Do they enjoy it?
I haven't really been on much since the World Cup. I think I've done one show since I've been there, so I think they've been excited. Fred would have a better poll.
I mean, look, we were out Friday night. I thought the crowd was digging it. Now, you know, the second half, obviously, everybody was kind of, you're up 3-0, and, you know, Paraguay was terrible. So.
Paraguay. Because America made them look terrible.
America made them look terrible. Shout out to America. But no, man, I'm telling you what, this has been a lot of fun. Yesterday, and we'll dive more into this in the 9 o'clock hour, isn't it fun in sports when the superstar is superstar?
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to be Gavin Dawson to appreciate what we saw yesterday. On the pitch.
And today.
Amen.
Harry Kane had a brace.
He did. Now, I didn't get to tune in to England as much. But yesterday, I just vegged out and watched World Cup all day. But Messi, what a dog. Your boy Haaland.
Yep.
Now, he's 6'5"?
6'6".
6'6"?
His dad was a player.
Haaland is huge.
Okay.
94.
And this is the first World Cup, too.
Dude, he's a monster.
Yeah.
Like, he's a monster. And Mbappe, I mean, I'll tell you what... All the hate this dude was getting before he made people forget real quick. Like
Messi was getting hate too. Too old, not even the best player on his team, holding Argentina back, and you know it still could be
Ronaldo. Ronaldo looked old today.
Yeah, it was bad.
Get him off my Portugal.
I think what's fun has been all these countries that have like 165,000 people.
Yeah.
That are tying these soccer powers.
Well, Cape Verde.
Cape Verde, 40-year-old goalie. Seriously. I mean, what are we doing?
Congo
man?
DR.
Yeah, Congo. Hadn't scored a goal ever. Yeah. Get one right before the half and hang on for 45
and
minutes.
And also these pitches in these American stadiums have just been visually pleasing to look at. You see all these pictures online like, oh, my gosh, the stadium looks so great. And in my head and other people on social media are like, why doesn't football games look like this? Mm-hmm. Less lines. You know, there's people all on the sidelines in football. It's just more aesthetically pleasing. These pitches and soccer fields.
Did you guys see the Congo fan in the yellow blazer that stands up there the entire 90 minutes with his hand in the air?
Did not.
Pretty cool. He was like doing a statue bit.
No, I missed that.
What's your what's your favorite soccer tourist moment on social media so far?
Mine's been all of them trying like Texas barbecue Bucky's and stuff like that, and seeing them like
I want big meat.
There you go.
They're like legitimately in tears, and it makes that relation feel closer. Like we're all human. At the end of the day, we all enjoy nice places or barbecue, whatever. And it's cool seeing all the cultures kind of all be in the same place.
I guess a Frenchman called his Waffle House experience a fortress of syrup and violence.
I love it.
A fortress of syrup and violence.
I think people did the same thing one time. Yeah.
That's a great description.
The Japanese dude that couldn't comprehend free chips and salsa.
Yeah.
That was pretty intense.
Oh, my gosh. That was amazing. Yeah, he's the biscuits and gravy guy, too.
The biscuits and gravy bit was incredible. The fact that he hadn't earned the free chips and salsa and tried to send it back was pretty incredible as well.
You don't deserve this.
We've also learned that we do not know how to represent our teams or party. Now, maybe if we, win, New York City, I'm sure it'll be crazy for the parade. Now, I'm not talking about that. This is all before the games have happened, before they've won. The crowds that they have brought and taken over Dallas or taken down downtown, taken down Arlington, all the flags and all the people supporting the same color and jerseys, like that is really cool to see. And it makes me, a little ashamed of how we represent our sports teams, because you don't ever see that. You never, unless a team wins a championship, you're not seeing that. And so to see that is so cool.
I would disagree with that.
Where do you see that?
I would disagree with that. First of all, you see it every Sunday.
No, you do not.
NFL. Oh, you mean
in droves like that? You see people in their own little parking lot.
So tailgating an entire parking lot of people dressed up the same.
My whole point is everyone's together. It's one big party. Those are all small little parties happening within a parking lot. They're not together.
I think it's unfortunate that the fan here now for soccer doesn't get to experience the tailgate.
I agree.
Yeah,
That would be something. I think social media tailgate would be awesome for the international fan.
That'd be the cherry on top.
Yeah.
That'd be the cherry on top.
Yeah. All right. Anything else to tease here for the show tonight, gentlemen?
Look, we'll dive into what, Cowboys. And then Blake has a bone to pick with Bobby's Wemby take. So
about as bad as it gets.
Ooh, what's his Wemby take?
He was saying he's a loser, never going to win a championship, immature, everything that you shouldn't say after a 22-year-old loses in the finals. So
he is pretty immature.
Yeah. Who? Bobby or Wemby?
We talk about Bobby or Wemby?
Both of them.
Okay, so maybe Gavin needs to be added to this list.
Wemby's kind of a crash out,
Gosh.
And by the way, your cable guy takes? Awful.
Oh.
You should all be ashamed.
Not that good of a
movie? You should be ashamed of yourselves.
I'm sorry.
You enjoyed that?
What, cable guy?
That was creepy.
It's dark humor at its finest.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup Mass Control here. 75 at 635. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chia following Broadus, and I'm Gavin Dawson. Here comes the Fan After Dark. Till tomorrow after the Rangers game, about 4:30 or 5, you're going home with the Nation. At ease.